Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
So we're going to go into part two today of reverence, which we started last week. And we said that reverence is deep respect for someone or something, deep admiration or regard for the feelings or wishes or the rights of others, to esteem, to place value upon, to honor, to pay public respect to. It's profound respect and love. When we have a reverent attitude toward God, we honor Him and obey His commandments. So we should be reverent in our behavior as well as our attitude. That word attitude is going to come up a lot today. Attitude. 1 Samuel 2:30. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, we said that honor is to place a greater value on something, in this case it's the Lord, than other things. Significant. To honor the Lord means that we're treating the Lord and the things of the Lord as important or significant. Esteem means to place value upon. Now, that part of the scripture that says, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed, and that's to treat the Lord or the things of the Lord as trivial, unimportant. They lightly esteem the things of God. It's no big deal. They shall be lightly esteemed or valued little, really, by the Lord. Now, we talked about last week, we're not going to go into all this, about honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that promise is that it'll be well with you if you honor your father and mother, and that you will live long on the earth. That's the promise of honoring them. We said you don't talk to your father and mother. You don't call them by their first names. You respect them. And we have to teach our children respect and honor. There was a man that said that he was teaching his kids. He said they were going to go see a relative. It was an older relative. I don't remember if he said it was a grandparent or maybe a very old uncle. I don't remember what it was, but he said he told the kids today, he said, I want you to listen. This man has been through a lot of stuff in his life, and you need to hear the wisdom that he's got. You don't need to be talking. He's telling his kids this. He said, you need to be listening. He said, you need to be really listening and take in what he's saying, and don't interrupt him. Don't show him respect. And he was telling them, today I'm watching you. I want you to do this. And they did. And this man was now grown, and he was talking about how this man, I like to say it could have been his grandfather or his uncle, but they were listening really intently to what he was saying and the stories that he was telling, and they learned so much from the wisdom that he had learned. I don't know about you guys, but I've learned a lot of times wisdom the hard way. And if I'd have listened to somebody else, I wouldn't have had to go through some of the hard things that I went through making the wrong choices that I made. Thank you very much. 1 Peter 2:17 says, recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. So, ways that we can show reverence, we close our eyes. You know, a lot of times in praise and worship, we close our eyes in reverence to the Lord. Or we close our eyes when we're in prayer a lot of times. Or we just close our eyes to pause sometimes in the Lord's presence just to see, just to be still in His presence. Other ways, we read our Bibles to reverence God and His holy word. We give our tithes and offerings as acts of reverence to God. We fast. We do it to reverence the Lord. We give up food or sometimes we give up. Well, now if I could bring Bonnie up, and she understands fasting probably better than anybody in the whole congregation. Because she fasts, and the angels really, the Bible says that the angels write things down. Well, on her fast, there's certain times like between 2 and 4 that she doesn't eat chocolate chip cookies. She was telling me about one of the fasts that she did, but she can have them after 4 but not before 2. I said that to be a joke. She did say something similar to that. I don't know what it was because it was crazy. But one of the things we do is we reverence the Lord by fasting, by giving up something that's important to us. We sacrifice something. And a lot of times it's food, and that's a good thing, but it can be something that we drink. You could fast your coffee. Yeah, I didn't get any amens about that one. I don't blame you. That's a very hard one to fast. You could give up sweets. Oh, Jesus. This is really getting there this morning, isn't it? But I tell you, a good fast would be to give up like secular media for a few days, just completely shut out secular media. Don't hear the news for a few days. And I know people think, well, you're sticking your head in the sand. No, I'm not. I'm saying sometimes out of reverence for God, you just need to stick your head in His Word and in His promises and just let that be the only thing. I don't know about you guys, but when I've done that, I tell you, it affects the way I think. Because sometimes that negative media just blaring, it just gets me in a wrong mindset. And so sometimes we just need to fast out of reverence for the Lord, and He'll do wonderful things for us if we will. And I want to read you a scripture in Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah 8. 5 and 6 and verse number 8. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, the book of the law, for he was above all the people. And it talks about they had built a platform, and they put Ezra on the platform. And in a lot of the translations it says it was a pulpit built of wood. And so I know that we would call this the pulpit today. So I know that word has changed meanings through the years, because they originally called it a pulpit that he was standing upon. But you know, it's, anyway, I'm getting a little far in the weeds. I'm sorry. Now, he was above all the people. That's the reason, the type and shadow of why we do the things that we do. But, you know, you're above the people, and that wasn't just a thought. That was God's thought. He wanted us to be where, you know, that everybody could see us in bigger areas and stuff. It says, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, the word, all the people stood up. You know, a lot of churches today, and I've been in churches where they say, let's stand today for the reading of God's Word. That's reverencing the Word of God. I love that. That is a great thing. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all of the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. We've just been lifting our hands all morning in praise and worship. And this is one of the scriptures that you know, says this is what you're supposed to do in the house of God. This is how, one of the ways we reverence the Lord is by lifting our hands. One of the ways is by listening to the Word, being very attentive to the Word, saying amen with the lifting of their hands, and they bowed their heads, another way to reverence. And they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and called them, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So, I mean, that's just many of the ways from the Word of God. So we need to really be paying attention. That's one of the main ways we can reverence the Spirit of God. And plus, whoever's speaking, if you're really making a drawing on the anointing by paying attention, it'll go deeper. It'll go deeper in you, and the things that the person can say will get. I mean, the Holy Spirit will use them in a class above what they believe for. I mean, you'll hear things that they didn't study, or hear things that they cannot, even though they have studied them, they can't communicate them properly, but the Holy Spirit will work them out, because He'll have them say those things and He'll give them the flow to it, because you're making that drawing on the anointing. You're being so, you know, sensitive and attentive to what's being said. Another thing of reverence is, you know, in churches like ours, you know, a message in tongues will come forth sometimes. And when that message in tongues, I don't know if y'all have ever noticed it, but sometimes a baby can be crying and the baby will stop crying. Sometimes people will be moving around and they stop moving. When the Lord is speaking through that message in tongues, I mean, there's a holy reverence. I know that a lot of churches, and us included, have moved away from some of this reverence the way we should. And the Lord is saying, I'm reeling you back in. I'm pulling you back in. We're going to get into a deeper reverence, and you're going to see it's going to have a greater effect. There's going to be a deeper work of God in our lives as we understand these things. And we get greater revelation, and we walk it out, we do it. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, there's a great reverence. I know I've been in services where the minister or whoever was doing the service, they'd say, okay, they'd be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. And they'd say, okay, there's somebody here with a back problem. And they were given that by the Spirit, and they were told to call it out. And they would say, now, if you have a back problem, I mean, I'm talking about in large groups of people, thousands of people, and the minister would say, now, if you have a situation with your back, or you know, it may be something else. It may be you've been to the eye doctor. It may be very, very accurately diagnosis of something that you've had, and you have a problem with your eyes, and you know, it may be whatever it is, but then the minister or the teacher or whoever is doing the service, a lot of times they'll say, now, what I'm calling out is by the Spirit of God. I don't know who this is. I don't know anything about it. But in reverence for the Lord, if that's you, you come down. And a lot of times there's more than one and they come down, and that's great. That's reverence in the Lord. But I've also heard them caution, and I've given this caution before. They said, if that's not you, if the two problems or the three problems that were called out, or if the one problem was called out and that's not you, then don't make a move. You pray for the ones that are coming down, but you don't step out of your seat. And I have seen it so many times, you know, the Lord will be moving in a great way. And then somebody in these larger crowds of people won't pay attention to that instruction. By not paying attention to the instruction, they're not reverencing the Spirit of God the way they should. And so they come down, and the minister or the teacher, whoever is ministering to them, said, what'd you come down for? I just came down to get a greater anointing. I wanted hands laid on me. That's laying hands on empty heads. Because you really need to listen. And sometimes that'll disrupt the flow of the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And he won't, you know, he'll lift. He'll just, I mean, the Holy Spirit just flows so wonderfully. And I mean, just the slightest change of something, the slightest disrespect, can I say it that way?
Yeah.
By not following that, you know, that specific instruction. I know a lot of times we say, well, you know, what's the big deal? It's a specific instruction. Okay, you people, you ladies or men, that you bake. You understand baking. I'm no good at any of it, but I learn a little bit about all of it. I like to learn it, and I enjoy it. It brings me great joy. But you understand baking is different than cooking. In cooking, I can cook. I can take a whole bunch of items, five things, dump it. They have what they call dump recipes, and I can dump them in the crock pot, and they turn out into something wonderful. You know, and you're not doing anything. You stir it maybe, and that's it, and it's a wonderful recipe. But on baking, you try that with bacon, and that does not work. I mean, bacon is precise. You have to have a certain measurement. If it calls for, you know, bacon soda, half cup of bacon soda, you better use bacon soda. If it calls for, you know, 3/4 of a cup of flour, you better use 3/4 of a cup of flour. If you're not precise with it, it's going to taste nasty, and you're going to say, this is the worst recipe I have ever seen in my entire life. Why did they print this thing? It's not anything wrong with the recipe. It's the person that is following the recipe, not doing it to the directions in the recipe. Can you understand? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're getting somewhere. And so when the Spirit is telling us, you know, don't come down if it's not you in this area. You may be called out, because the Lord, when He starts moving like that, if we don't hinder the Spirit, I mean, He'll keep moving sometimes for a long period of time that same direction, and sometimes He won't, and that's up to the Spirit. And sometimes your thing might be called out, and sometimes it might not. But the Lord knows what it is, and He'll get it to you, whether He gets it to you through the gifts of the Spirit and the Word of knowledge or not. He'll get it to you. He may give you a scripture that just jumps off the page at you the next day when you're reading, and you just know God spoke to you through that word. That is a rhema to you. You know it's Him. And He just confirms it to you. You hear it over and over, it's confirmed. But don't grieve the Spirit. When the Spirit says to do it this way, do it that way. When the Spirit gives directions through whoever's ministering, then follow those directions exactly. I was mentioning the other day about how Naaman, he had leprosy, and he's guided to go to the prophet's house, and he's thinking on the way to the prophet. Naaman's somebody of very importance. He's really important in his government or whatever, and he's thinking, well, I'm going to go, and the prophet's going to come out, and he's going to pronounce that I'm healed, and that'll be all there is to it. Well, the prophet is going by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God said, I ain't going out there. He said, my servant, where are you at? He said, go out there and tell him. He said, go dip in Jordan River 7 times and you'll be whole, just like a baby. Leprosy will be gone. And he was like, say what? Where's the prophet at? I thought I asked for the prophet. Where's the prophet? That's the word you got. Then this little maid that was working in his house, he wasn't doing it. He was so mad. And he said, why couldn't I go to these other rivers? There's plenty of nice, clean rivers that I could go to other than this filthy Jordan River that he's telling me to go to. Why I got to go there? See, that's human reasoning. When the man of God or the prophet of God or the whoever's being used at that point is directing you, you follow, just like in bacon, you follow specific instructions. And if you don't, he could have went to any of the other rivers, he wouldn't have got healed. But he had to follow those specific. The little maid told him, she said, all he told you was go and dip. And I guess he realized the simplicity of what she said, and he went and did it. And on the 7th time, just like he was told, the 7th time, he was made whole. Okay, and that's the way we reverence the Spirit of God. Can you see it? They're following specific instructions. And if you follow that on the reverence like that, you'll find out they were given specific instructions before great miracles happened. There were specific instructions on the widow that couldn't pay her bills after her husband, the prophet, had died. And the other prophet told her, go and gather, you know, all these vessels and just start pouring the oil into the vessels and gather as many vessels as you can gather. I mean, it's very important that you gather lots and lots of vessels. If she'd have just gathered a couple, it wouldn't have been enough to pay her debt. But she followed the instructions to the letter. We've got to, and she was relieved of all her debt. He said, now go and sell the oil and pay the debt. She did exactly the instructions she was given. I can imagine, you know, if she's really following those instructions exactly right, which she did, you know, her sons were going and getting vessels from all the neighbors. They were borrowing stuff from all the neighbors. Can you imagine? They probably came back with a wheelbarrow. It's a vessel. Poor. You know, I mean, there's no telling what. This is a pot for the flour. Get it. Poor. Whatever vessel. They had to think outside the box to do that. But they did it in line with what the Spirit of God was saying. That's where reverence comes in. When we reverence God in a greater way in our life, we will see greater signs, wonders, and miracles in our life. And you'll find that anytime you see a miracle, you're going to find, I see from the Word of God, you're going to find instructions most of the time to get that miracle. And if you follow those, if they followed the instructions specifically, they got their miracle. So, that's good. There's a country singer. I don't know anything about country singers. Y'all know I stopped listening to country music back when you picked a fine time to leave me Lucille. That's the last one I remember ever hearing. So I'm out of country music. I don't know nothing about country music. But there's a man, I picked this up off of whatever, and I printed it out. Granger Smith. Y'all heard of Granger Smith? He's supposed to be a well-known country singer. And he said he just felt like the Lord, and this is really about reverence. He's talking about the Lord just dealing with him to give it up for a while, to sit down. And he said he has this tour scheduled and he's going to finish the tour because he felt led to finish the tour. And people are telling him, why are you going to do that? And he said, because I feel like I just, for the Lord, I think I'm supposed to do that for right at this time. And he said, and people would tell him, even ministers would tell him, just sing your country music and talk about God on the stage. There's nothing wrong with that. But they were giving him natural human reasoning. And why don't you just sing a couple of hymns on the stage, and that fixes everything. He said he wrestled with this for a while, and people would come up to him and tell him, country music is your ministry, brother. You're in a dark world, and you're bringing light to a dark world. You're going into bars and stages where people might not have heard the message of Christ, and you get to speak into those places, and that's your ministry. He said, that's all well and good, and I believe what you're saying is right, but for me at this time, he felt a strong need to reverence the Lord. Now here's what he said. He said, I believed and he continued, and part of me still does, but talking about the platforms that God would use. It's not ever about finding the best platform to tell people about Christ. The first thing, here's what he said, that needed to happen was I needed to make myself smaller. That's so good. Less of me, more of Him. I need to make myself smaller because I was exalting myself on the stage. I was glorifying myself. I was seeking praise from people. And by doing that, it doesn't matter if I was proclaiming Christ because I was doing it in the wrong way. See, like in our praise and worship, it's all about the Lord. It's not about us. Everything, if you're singing, it's about the Lord. It must be about you're singing for the Lord. It's not about how good your voice is. It's not about how good you play an instrument. It's about the Lord. It's deep-rooted. It's got to be, if we're reverencing the Lord, it's got to come from inside, inside out, inside out. It must come that way. He said, and it doesn't matter if I was proclaiming Christ because I was doing it the wrong way. I was proclaiming Christ from a self-exalting platform, and that was the contradiction. I finally had to come to terms with I might have a stage down the road, and I believe He will. But right now, I need to completely surrender that and give it over to God. How often do you see that? Oh my God. Whew. But he's reverencing God in his life. Now, what does our Scripture tell us? If we honor the Lord, He will honor us. If we give Him a little honor, He'll give us a little honor. If we give Him a lot of honor, He's going to give us a lot of honor. So if this man is giving the Lord a lot of honor, he's going to receive a lot of honor. I promise you, the end of that man is going to be, wow, everybody's going to know his name. I believe they will. I do. And it's not about knowing his name. It's about God being in his life, and they're going to know the Lord through that man and his ministry. So one of the other ways we reverence God is by giving Him time. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So a lot of times we reverence God just by pausing and giving Him time, by being still. I know I was trying to make a decision the other day, and I just realized I got to pause. I just got to pause. I just can't just... My natural human thinking will come in, and it'll be the wrong thing. And I done that. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong choice. I let my mind make this decision. I let my emotions make this decision. No, my new t-shirt is going to be, I let God make this decision. I reverence the Lord, and I heard from Him, and I knew what to do. And it don't matter if people don't agree with it, they don't like it, it don't matter. Because when you hear from God, you know it's God. I'm telling you, a hurricane wind can come against you and you're not going to be moved because you heard from God. Okay, we said last week, and I'm just going to touch this, don't allow the enemy to move you out of your place. Recognize that the enemy will push you and prod you, and he'll punch your buttons, and he'll get you to focus on an offense to move you out of your place. And we reverence the Lord by being willing to wait and by flowing with the authorities that God has placed in our life, and by just letting Him do it. Not us. We're not trying to make it happen. We're letting Him do it. We reverence and honor the Lord by being properly joined, we said this last week, to the body of believers that God has called us to, not that we have called ourselves to. Did y'all hear that? You almost missed it. Not that we have called ourselves to. We called ourselves, me and Pastor Sharon one time, to a body of believers, because they had the programs that we wanted for Benjamin. He was a little bitty guy. We wanted those programs. So we left where God had called us to. I told you about the wonderful thing that we had. We're going 40 miles one way. And then it seemed like it was too big of a sacrifice about a year and a half in. It seemed like, you know, it seemed like that the enemy was putting a lot of pressure, like especially on the midweek service. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot that. We have a midweek service. Y'all forgot, didn't you? Y'all don't even realize. Yeah, and we reverence the Lord in that. You understand? Anyway, we were going to the midweek service, and you know, I had to be at work on a regular schedule at 6:30, so that meant you get up at 5 o'clock, okay? Not at 6:25 to get there at 6:30. Thank you very much. I just thought I'd throw that in. And anyway, you reverence the Lord by getting up in time to get there. But then it seemed like, after we'd been at that church for a little while, that the schedule kept changing. And my hours kept getting earlier and earlier for the Thursday morning, especially the Thursday morning. If you can't see that, you're looking into things too natural. On the Thursday mornings, I'd have to be at work at 3 o'clock That means I got to get up at 1:30. We're in LaGrange, Georgia, 40 miles from home, coming home at 9 o'clock. Got to get up at 1:30. You understand? Then it would change, and I got to be there at 1:30 in the morning. That was considered first shift, 1:30 in the morning when you were in certain jobs. And you got to be there at 1:30. You got to go, you know, 12 o'clock, you're getting up. Well, you just went to bed at 9, 9:30. Because you just got home from church. You say, well, the Lord couldn't possibly want me to do all this. This is too great a sacrifice. Now, what you're going to find is the greater you reverence the Lord in the sacrifices that you and I make, the greater He honors us. And He'll bless us and He'll honor us. And you say, well, I don't have to do that. You don't. But I'm telling you, you'll miss out on a lot of good stuff if you don't. I mean it. God's, you know, we think we live in a time that, you know, I want to live for the Lord, but I don't want Him to ask me to sacrifice nothing. I mean, I might have to lose some sleep. I might have to, I mean, there's things I want to do, places I want to go, things I want to see. But you're going to have to reverence the Lord, and He's going to ask sacrifices of you. If you're a Christian, He said to lay your life down. You know, he didn't say, you know, a lot of times we want to pick it up. Well, I'm a Christian now. I got it all, but... And we do, but we need to reverence the Lord in our life. And sometimes that calls for great sacrifices. Y'all still here? You gone home? I think some of y'all might have left home. Some of y'all on Facebook that just cut it off, please cut it back on. Lord's got something for you. You just got to listen. Amen? We said last week, I'm going to repeat this week, we don't choose our home church. I told you, I chose our home church. We found out it was the wrong thing. Felt like we was taking a bath with our socks on. You know something's wrong. Something just don't feel right. You never took... I understand. I get it. Y'all have never done that. Okay? But you've done other stupid things, I'm sure. Can I say it that way? That covers us all. We're all in the boat now. Okay? So you don't choose your home church. I tried it and it didn't work. And then I got back on course. I repented of it and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going back. I don't care what the sacrifices are. And that's how we got sent out to do this church, was the elders of that church and being faithful in that church and ministering. You know, I went through the whole thing last week, and you need to get the CD or listen to it on Facebook. But I reverence the Lord by allowing Him to choose and Him to lead us. You reverence the Lord by, you know, the Lord might take you to a church that's not your family. We have families here that they've got many ministers in their family, but they're here. Why are they here? They're here because the Lord said, you come to this place. This is your home. Your family you love, but I didn't call you with them for your home church sometimes. Me and my mom, even, you know, when I was going to church, she was going to church, we were going to separate churches, and I always wanted us to be in the same place. And it was years and years and years later, after we started the work, that she felt led to change. And it wasn't in the beginning. It was, you know, after a little bit of time. Don't treat your home church casually. Don't treat the divine connection of your home church casually. Don't treat the things of God too casually. You get a word that's from God, from the teachers and everybody that ministers and from your fellow congregants, because you're in the right place and you're properly joined to the body, but you're going to miss that word if you're not properly joined to the body. You're going to miss things in your future that you would know how to handle because you'd have the wisdom that's stored up. Y'all still here? You'll have divine connections of friendships and favor, jobs. We said this last week. Your mate, promotions, raises, houses, cars, supernatural protection, children. But the natural man would say, 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the natural man says, receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. There'd be a lot of people today that would be saying, while they're hearing me say, you don't choose your home church, they'd be saying, what a foolish statement. You don't choose your home church. I don't. I reverence the Lord and I let Him, not where I necessarily want to be, that has the programs that I want. I reverence the Lord. And if He said, this is your home church, that's where I go. That's where I camp out. That's where I park it. Yeah. I said, park it. Uh-huh. You know, some people are doing drive-bys. Yes, right, the drive-through. Okay, I'll take a Big Mac, an order of fries, and I'll take a hot fudge sundae. Thank you very much. And I'll see you in about 3 weeks. You're doing a drive-through. Drive-through Christianity is going to get you in some trouble. You're going to be in some trouble, and you're going to be like, what is going on? God, where are you at? God said, I want to honor you, but you're not honoring me. So I'm having to hold back. See, we start thinking too naturally. It's no big deal where I go to church. I go anywhere I want to. You are a free will moral agent, and you can. You can go anywhere you choose. But there's only one place God chose. You can go any of them. There's great churches around everywhere, but you better choose the one God told you to choose, because that's where your divine connections are at. That's where your divine hookup's at. That's where your supernatural protection's at. Because we said it last week, it's a dangerous place not to be covered, not to be in the right place. Don't let natural thinking get you messed up. And we said last week, I was meddling, and I said, since COVID, there's a lot of people that have said, you know, it's because of COVID. I'm not joined to a body anymore because of COVID. It's no big deal. Huge. It's huge. Going to where you're called to be, there's a spiritual covering and you're under it. And the enemy is looking for people that are not connected properly and not where they're supposed to be. You say, well, it's a good church. I'm sure it is. There's plenty of good churches around. No joke. Plenty. Plenty of them. And we respect them and we love them. We're not speaking evil of any of them. But there's only one that God has called you to. Be there. Be there. Hook up there. Be properly joined. Easter and Christmas is not properly joined. Two times a year is not properly joined. Well, I'm going to go once every 2 months. No, you're not properly joined. I'm telling you, you're going to have to push past your flesh. If you're going to reverence the Lord the way He wants reverence, you're going to honor Him the way He wants you to honor Him. And then He will honor you by you pushing past some stuff. Amen. Well, I just don't see it that way. I don't care how you see it. Amen. That's the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. Amen. It's not about what I see, what I believe. It's about what this Word says. And that's what this Word says. It'll cost you a big price tag to get out of the will of God. Too big. Can't pay it. Having that too casual, callous attitude, it'll cost you. Being not properly connected, it'll cost you. I know I sound like a broken record. I can't help it. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Somebody should have put the clock on me today, I guess. It's here, and so far it says I've only been up here 5 hours and 13 minutes. Well, I was planning to go 7.5 hours, so I've still got 2 hours left. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. For them that honor me, I will honor, and those that despise me should be lightly esteemed. I've got much more. I'm going to give you a hair more. A hair more, but I've got a lot more. Okay. Isaiah 58 and 13 says, if you stop trampling the Sabbath, stop doing whatever you want on my holy day, and consider the Sabbath a delight, sacred to the Lord, honored and honor it instead of doing things your way, seeking what you want, and doing business as usual. Okay, I could give you a real example of this. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and then I'm going to give you an example, and I hope you take this right. Because some people are at the lake today. Nothing wrong with being at the lake if it's your vacation. But if you're at the lake 51 weeks out of the year, there's something wrong with it. Thank you very much. You're not honoring the Lord. You're not giving Him His time. And that's the question that we have to ask. Are we putting Him first? Are we giving Him the appropriate amount of time? And we talked about if you're trampling the Sabbath, there's another scripture. Okay, yeah, I forgot about that. Okay. Now, let's just say something. Let's say your work week. Your work week is Sunday through Thursday. And that's where you are working. That's your job. That's your income. That's your living. Then you are not able to be in the services, you know, the way you would like to be. And at this point in time, you can't. And there should be no condemnation to you because you're doing whatever you can do to be in the house of God. That's like sometimes people will come in and they're late and they still got their work clothes on and they're coming straight from work. And you talk about honoring the Lord. That's honoring Him. That's honoring Him. It's a different thing if you've been off for 4 hours. Thank you. Thank you very much. I just thought I'd throw that in for balance. Thank you very much. I remember one time, my work week was Monday through Friday. That was my regular work week. Then if you had overtime, it was Saturday. It was time and a half. And then if you had Sunday work, which we didn't hardly ever have Sunday work, but if you did, it was double time and a half, I believe is what it was. And, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to you. But you really got to listen. If you're not listening, you'll go off and say, I said something that I didn't say. Okay, at my workplace, like I said, my regular work week was Monday through Friday. So it was an elective for me. You know, well, most Saturdays, if they wanted you to work on Saturday, you work, and they give you a choice. You were working. So I worked 5 days a week, 8 to 10 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day. And then Saturdays, if they chose, it was up to them. It's not my call. You could volunteer, I guess, for it, but most of the time I got drafted for it. But anyway, okay, but they said they were going to be doing some Sunday work. And I remember having a very big financial need. And I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because I know I'm going to be forced to work Saturday. But if I'm making 2.5 times what I would be making normally, that would at least make a dent. It won't touch what I owe in this particular situation that I'm pressed out of measure with pressure that the enemy was using. And the Lord started dealing with me. He said, no. And I said, why not? And he really, I didn't understand it fully at the time. He was showing me, you reverence me in front of the people here. You're reverencing me by saying, I'm not going to take the Sunday work, because people were constantly coming up asking, are you going to work Sunday? Are you going to work Sunday? They didn't know my situation, and I was battling it. They didn't know I was battling it in my mind. Okay, there again, now if you go off and you hear part of this sermon and you take it half-cocked, you're wrong. Because I'm saying your work week might be Sunday through Thursday. That's not where I'm going with this. Mine was totally elective, whether I decided to miss going to the house of God or not. Mine was totally elective, whether I decided to work on that day or not. Okay? And it was a real temptation for me. Because I said, Lord, you know, I know you want me to provide for my family, but, you know, if we want to be honest, sometimes we get in over our head because we make soulish decisions and we... Thank you very much. I really need to amen, because we all do this. And we allow that pressure to come in from the devil, but we do a lot of times our wrong choices and stuff. Anyway, long story short, I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And a whole bunch of the people that I was working with were Christians, and they were like, oh yeah, we're going to do it. I can't believe you're not going to do it, but we're going to do it. And I said, you do what you feel in your heart. I got to do what I'm supposed to do. So I was doing it probably not in the right attitude the way I should. I was like, Lord, please, dear God, have mercy on me. What, you know, anyway, long story short, they got paid, you know, that Friday, Thursday, whatever it was. And, you know, it was a lot. You know, they made a lot. And a couple of days later, I got an unexpected check in the mail. Somebody that didn't know anything about our circumstance, not a word. They knew nothing about what we were in. The hot water we were in, the pressure that was like an iron in front of our face. They knew nothing of the pressure we were in. And they just felt led to do it. They didn't even know they were feeling led by God. They cut a check for $2,000. Unexpected. Got it in the mail. And it was much more than I would have made doing the other thing. Now you could say what you want to, but God said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. You put me first. You acknowledge me. You know, they can do so much for you, but I can take you to a different level if you will honor me. If you'll reverence me.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.